If you would tonight, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans. I'm going to read in Romans chapter 4 and also in Romans chapter 5. We've been studying in our Sunday school time the book of Romans, but I wanted to just sort of key in on one particular thing. And by the way, next Sunday we start our new lessons and have a few more books up here, the quarterlies that we use. And those are good little books to study the Scripture by. And so if you do not have a new Sunday school book, be sure and get that after the service. Romans chapter number 4, we begin in verse number 1. And we'll just read two or three verses here, and then we'll say some things, what else is being spoken of in chapter 4. But then primarily we'll be in chapter 5 tonight, noticing some things here in the Scripture. Verse number 1, Romans chapter 4, says, "What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If we are saved, if Abraham had what he had by the works of the flesh, then it was something that God owed him. And tonight we know God does not owe us anything. God was not beholden to us for anything. But because He loved us, He gave His only begotten Son." And so in chapter 4 here, we find that Paul, as he writes to the Romans, he is dealing with this man Abraham and how that he was justified. He said the Scripture says that, the Bible says that he was justified not by works, but the Scripture says that Abraham believed God and it's counted to him for righteousness. You know, you and I got saved one time because we believed God. Abraham was become a child of God just like we did. It was by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing, having faith in God. The rest of the chapter, of chapter 4, Paul is dealing with this thing of justification and how that it is not according to the works of the flesh, but that it is according to the gift of God. We call that grace. Grace is one of the most, it's one of the hardest, deepest subjects of all the Bible, but it's yet one of the easiest to describe, one of the easiest that we can give definition unto it. Because grace is just simply God's favor toward us. Not that it was merited, not that we earned it, not that we did anything to receive it, but just simply God gave it to us, and that is grace. But you get into a lot of different facets of the subject of grace, and we're not going to get into all that tonight, but we're going to be looking about the qualifications for grace. How that we think, well, how are we qualified to receive God's grace? Abraham here is given to us as an example that God had given him a promise. And the promise was that he'd have a son. Abraham was past the years of giving a son. Sarah was past years of having a child. But the Bible says here that he staggered not at the promise of God and through unbelief. You see, the only way we're going to stagger at God's promises is through unbelief. Just not believing, not accepting what God gives to us. And so the Bible says here that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, there in verse number 20, through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham had an assurance in his life that God had promised him something, and so therefore God was able to perform the promise. Our knowledge of the Lord is that God is able to do anything He so chooses. If He tells us He can do something and will do something, then He will do that. We might think it would be impossible, and I'm sure Abraham thought it was impossible. Sarah thought it was impossible. And Sarah and Abraham both laughed at the promise of God, but yet they came to realize that God was able to perform the promise that He had given to them, and they had a son. And of course, we have that given to us in the Old Testament. And the Bible says in verse 22, and wherefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was accounted, put on his account, that he was righteous because he believed God. You and I tonight, we are righteous in the sight of God, not because of our works, not because of our things that we do and the actions that we take, but we are righteous tonight because we believe God. because we trust His Word and we stagger not at the promise that God can save us and God can take us home to glory and we can rejoice in knowing Him as our personal Savior. And so Abraham is given to us as an example of this thing of faith and has given to us as a recipient of His grace. Now look in verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, when you see the word therefore, it's always referring back to what has been said and considering what has been given to us concerning Abraham. Therefore, being justified by faith, Paul says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse number 2 really is our verse tonight I want us to look at, and some following verses here that we'll look into. The Bible says here we have access to God. We can go very strongly and very pronouncedly into the throne room of the Lord by the faith that we have, and therefore we can stand in the grace that God has given to us. Well, how do we get this grace? How do we receive this? What kind of person has to be a recipient of God's grace and God's mercy? Does he have to be a perfect individual? Does he have to be an upright person? Does he have to be someone that is outstanding in his community? What really brings on the grace of God into the individual's life? Well, the Bible teaches us and tells us that it's not by what we do or who we are or how great we might think we are. It doesn't matter if we're known or unknown in the community, in our area. It doesn't matter if we're great. It doesn't matter how much money we have. It doesn't matter how many facilities we have. Those things do not matter. Those are earthly things that really do not determine God's grace upon us. God doesn't look at things like we look at things. We look at an individual and say, well, he's well off. He's doing pretty well for himself. And really inside, he may not be doing well at all. We look on the outside. God looks on the heart. The grace of the Lord is not given to people because they're outstanding people. The grace of God is not bestowed upon folks because they're good people. The grace of the Lord is not rewarded to people because of their good works that they perform. But I believe in these next few verses tonight, in chapter 5, we find out the qualifications for grace. The qualifications for someone to receive God's mercy and grace. And really and truly, you can't hardly separate those two words. So tonight I want us to look, and we'll look at some verses in this chapter 5. We'll primarily be in chapter 5 tonight, maybe turn to one other area. But we find in these next few verses, we find the qualifications. We find out what kind of people can receive God's grace. We find out who can be recipients of the grace of the Lord. And we look in, if you would, look with me, first of all, in verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength. That tells me here that a person that can receive the grace of God can be a weak person. While we were without strength. Now we know what it means to be weak. We know what it means to be tired. We know what it means to be worn out and not able to perform maybe the things that needs to be done. And the Scripture says here, when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So here we find that those folks that are without strength, those folks that are unable to do the work that needs to be done, here God also classifies them as the ungodly. Those of us that were ungodly, those of us that were weak, and it says, when we were without strength. God didn't come to us when we were the strongest individual. God didn't come to us and give us His salvation and give us His grace because we were able to do certain things and we were strong in our flesh and strong in our ways and means and our mind was strong. No, God came to us while we were weak and undone. And in due time, Christ died for us that were ungodly. So here we find the weak and the ungodly are in the same verse and classified the same way. And that tells us that there's a recipient. There's a person that is qualified to receive the grace of the Lord. Somebody that just, well, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I have the strength to be a Christian. guess what? We don't have the strength to be a Christian. I don't think I have the strength to go on and to do what God says. That's when God comes on the scene. And while we were yet sinners, and the Scripture says here there that while we were without strength, in due time, just at the right time, Jesus came and died upon the cross of Calvary for those that were weak and undone, those that were ungodly. Thank God He died for us. Now I can receive the grace of the Lord. Now I can call upon His name. Now I can have His life with me, and I can have the Spirit of God living within my soul, because when I was not able, thank God He was able. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that when he had promised, he was able to perform. Thank God tonight when He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He's able to give you rest. When He says, "Come and I'll bear my burden and I'll take your burden," thank God He can do that. When He promised, "For whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved," when He promised that, thank God He was able to perform that, and He makes us a new creature in Christ, and we're saved by the grace of God. Just simply because He wants to save us. Simply because we believe. And so, here in the very first part of this chapter 5, we find that one of those people or kinds of people that receive the grace of God are those that are weak. They just don't feel like they can do. They just don't feel like they have ability. And they just, "Preacher, I don't know how to become a Christian." Well, it's not the know-how. It's just to come and believe. It's not all the ins and outs. And I know we've got books on 1, 2, 3, how to do all this stuff. I know we've got it all laid out. But that's not what salvation is. Salvation is us meeting God and God coming and making us a new creature through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is given to us by His grace. His unmerited, undeserved favor upon us. And here we find that when I was without strength, I have found that people that think they can do things usually cannot do things. People that think they can figure out God, they're not going to figure out God. People that think they can do whatever needs to be done in order to figure out how to get to heaven, they're not going to figure out how to get to heaven. It's not a pathway, it's a person. It's not a plan, it's in a person. I know we have God's simple plan of salvation tracks, and God has laid it out and God has given us a plan. But it's not in that plan, but the plan is about the person, and the person is Jesus Christ. And while I was without strength, while you were without strength, while we were ungodly, well, the world doesn't like to hear that term. People don't like to be told that they're ungodly. People do not like to be told that they're wretched and miserable. And they don't want to be told how bad they are or how weak they are. But God says, when we were without strength, in due season, in due time, He died for the ungodly. Thank the Lord tonight that He died for us. We're not saved by our strength. We're not saved by our ways. We're saved because He comes to us even in our weakness. Even when we don't know anywhere else to go. Sometimes a person really has to get to the end of themselves. Sometimes they have to get to the end of the rope. Sometimes they have to get just as far down as they can get before they can realize what God's done for them. And that's when they're without strength. See, God sometimes has to strip us of all of our so-called good things. And so here we find the qualification to receive this grace that Paul's writing about. He says, "To whom we have access by faith into this grace." So for us to be able to get into this grace, we have to realize that we have to be weak. While we were weak, while we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Every one of us in here tonight ought to say, "Praise the Lord." He died for us. He died for us the way we were. He died for us the condition we were in. And He, as I said this morning, He knew all of that before He ever did it. Sometimes I look at my life and wonder why in the world the Lord would love me. Sometimes I think about things that I think about and the things I do, the things that slip out of our mouths and the ideas that, and how the devil manipulates us. Sometimes I wonder, how in the world does the Lord put up with us? That's because He loves us. And while we were without strength, He died for us. In due time, due season, He died for the ungodly, and that's those that's without strength. Look with me in verse number 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So here's another qualification. Well, preacher, I'm not too bad of a person. I don't sin too much. That kind of attitude, you'll never be saved. Well, preacher, I'm as good as so-and-so. Well, do you know that person? Well, I don't do the things they do. And they're church members. Oh, don't let somebody that lives a wicked life send you to hell. God will deal with them, but God's going to deal with you also. And so the Bible says here that God commendeth, or God put His love upon us while we were yet sinners. God didn't love me. God didn't love you when we got all cleaned up. Now, there's a lot of my preacher friends that almost preach you got to clean it up before you can get saved. God doesn't tell us to clean up anything. God tells us to believe. Well, God's not going to save a person if they're living like that. Who in the world did He come to die for? Living like that. They never explain what that is. That's like, who's they? We always talk about, well, they said, and they. Who's they? We never know. Well, God's not going to save that wicked person. Why not? Well, God's not going to save the person sin that kind of sin. Why not? I find in the Bible that Paul lists a whole list of things and sinners and types of sin. And then he puts an end of the statement and says, such were some of you. And listed in that is every hideous sin you can think of. Guess what He did? He saved them. Such were some of you. See, we all have a past. We all have things in our past that we don't want to bring up. But Christ died for us while they were brought up. Christ died for us on the cross of Calvary knowing the attitude that I'd have, the attitude you'd have. God knew where we would be. God knew what condition our heart would be in. And yet He commended His love toward us. That makes us a recipient of the grace of God. That makes us qualified for God's grace, that we were sinners. Jesus told those folks, as He taught many times and places, He didn't come to call the righteous, He came to call sinners. He said, if you're righteous, then don't worry about it. I'm not going to bother you. He said, I came to call sinners. I'm glad, thank God, November 15, 1959, God called a sinner, called me. Made me a child of God. Made me a Christian while I was yet a sinner. I was just a young boy, 8 years old. But yet I knew I was a sinner. Oh, I hadn't gone out and committed some of the hideous things that I hear about even today. But God saved me because I was a sinner by nature. And I had sinned and I realized that I was a sinner. But my nature was terribly off and terribly wrong. Just like all of us in here tonight. God, Jesus Christ died for not only our sins, but primarily He died for our sin nature. To make us a new creature in Christ. To change us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't just die for those soldiers that was around His crucifixion. He didn't just die for His apostles. He didn't just die for those disciples that were following Him from place to place. He didn't just die for the wicked of His day. While we were yet sinners. You see, the Lord, we have a hard time putting this in our mind because we're creatures of time. But God's not bound by time. And God knows every sin that every person that has ever lived. And while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He died for my past sins. Thank the Lord for that. He died for my present sins. Oh, guess what? We've all sinned today. If you haven't yet, you better go to bed quick. He died for the present sins, and He's died for the future sins. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God tonight, while we were sinners. That makes us qualified to receive God's grace. So you see, it's not the strong, it's the weak. It's not the perfect, it's the sinners. It's not those that have all the things working for them, but it's for the ungodly. Look in verse number 10. For if when we were, here's another word, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Here we find, not only are we weak, not only are we sinners, but now we're enemies. We're at enmity against God. We're enemies of the Lord. We are that one that has raised our heart against Him and fights against Him. We are enemies. And yet He loved us. We are enemies into the point and the place that we would fight against everything that He would do that would be good for us. And we don't want it. So therefore, we're enemies. But when we were enemies, we were reconciled. The word reconciled means we've been brought back together. While I was an enemy to God, God brought me to Himself. While I was weak and undone, ungodly, while I was doing my own thing, while I was a sinner, while I was an enemy, He reconciled us to His Son. We've been brought together. We've been put back into place. And we find here that we have been reconciled to God by the death of His Son. By the dying, the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is still the blood that saves us. And it is the blood that makes us a new creature in Christ. And so we find that while we were an enemy against the work of the Lord, Saul was an enemy of Christ. Saul thought he was doing God a favor. He was zealous for God. And he was going around killing and giving his voice of accusation against these so-called believers. And Paul was an enemy of the cross of Calvary until one day he met God. You know what happened that day on the road to Damascus? Reconciled. While he was an enemy. Paul could write from first-hand knowledge here. Paul could write from knowing that while he was an enemy, God had reconciled him. He had been reconciled to God through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." You know what happened that day? Oh, Saul and God became reconciled. Praise the Lord. Recipient of grace. Whatever day you came to know Christ, we could go around the room tonight and probably many of you could give me the date. Some maybe cannot, but you know an experience, you know a time. I don't put a whole lot of emphasis on dates because sometimes we don't know the date. You've heard my story. I didn't know the date until I was much older when I found it written in a Bible that my grandmother had written down when I got saved. I had no idea. I was an eight-year-old boy. I didn't know what day it was. Didn't care. Now, I'd heard so many preachers preach, "You've got to know the day and the hour." I thought, "Well, man, I don't know that. How am I going to, what's going on here? I don't know that." But I'll tell you one thing, I know what happened that day. God reconciled me to Himself while I was a sinner. He reconciled me while I was an enemy. He reconciled me while I was weak. He reconciled me while I was an ungodly individual. Now look at verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed on all men. Oh, look at his last words. For that all have sinned. Dead in sins. Well, I'm not dead. Oh, yes you are. Well, preacher, I'm still living. Oh, but spiritually, if you're without Christ, you're dead. There's no life in you. There's no spark of divinity. There's nothing that can be fueled up to make you better. There's nothing that can be stoked up to make you feel better, be better, look better, and go to heaven. That's not the way it is. Because the Bible says we're dead. For by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men. Everybody's dead. I heard a preacher preach one time on walking dead men. That's what we are without God. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." That same word there, dead. What does that mean? I've heard preachers try to tell me what kind of dead this is. Will you tell me what kind of dead is? Rhonda, you're back there. You've dealt with that. There's only one kind of dead, isn't there? Dead. Well, there may be some little hope there. No. Dead. And the Bible says here, spiritually speaking, He hath quickened us. The word quicken there means to come to life. I've used this illustration 100 times. I'm the world's worst to pick around on my fingers. And every once in a while I'll pull it, and what do you call it? Pull it into the quick. You know what happens there? It comes to life. You know, I shouldn't have done that. You know, you shouldn't have gone that far. You should have got some clippers. But you pull it, and all of a sudden, oh my, ooh, it's alive now. Didn't hurt before, but it was quickened. And we that were dead in sins and trespasses, thank God He hath quickened us. He's brought us to life. We wasn't partly dead, but you're dead. I've heard people try to explain that away. What is dead? That means without any ability. Any ability. Well, I thought, yeah, that's the problem. We think when we need to read. The Bible says we're dead in sins and trespasses. That means we cannot do anything until we're quickened. And that works by the Holy Spirit of God. That kind of person, guess what? He can receive grace. That dead person there, he doesn't ask for grace. Not till he's quickened. That person we follow to the cemetery, they're not going to ask you anything. If they did, they'd be left behind. Because we'd all leave. And a person that is without God, he's just as dead spiritually as he can get. Not a little bit dead, not partially dead. He's dead. And we're all dead in sins, trespasses. And Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, he said, "And you hath He quickened." Oh, thank God for the quickening Spirit of the Lord. He that begun a good work in you, He'll perform it to the day of redemption. He'll take care of what He starts. I'm glad He starts it. I'm glad He finishes. I'm glad He takes care of all the in-between. But we were dead in sin. Thank God now I'm a recipient of God's grace. Look at verse number 18. You could preach a message on every one of these. I put down the wrong verse here. Well, I've got it. I'll read it. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. What kind of person can get saved? The condemned. Those that have been condemned. Jesus said they did not come to condemn the world because what? The world had already been condemned. I've told you this story many times. Old man I witnessed to long, long time ago. He said, he called my name. He said, "I don't feel condemned." I said, Mr. Zach, whether or not you feel condemned, doesn't matter. And I opened up my Bible and read that verse to him. He's condemned already. we're all condemned. That makes us qualified for grace. That makes us in line for the mercy of the Lord because we are condemned. We find over in the book of Romans chapter 5, I did have the right verse, had the wrong book open. In verse number 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many shall be made righteous." One man's disobedience. Of course, that refers back to Adam. And Adam's sin has been going on, an ongoing sin from that time to this time. Disobedient. I don't want that. I'm not going to do. I don't care what you tell me about heaven. I don't care what you tell me about hell. Preacher, I don't want it. You're disobedient. Do you know what that puts him in, or her in? Puts her in line for God's grace. Puts her to the point, puts him to the point that he can receive the grace of the Lord because he's disobedient. He's ungodly. He's unfaithful. He's an enemy. He's dead. He's condemned. All those things make us recipients of the grace of the Lord. Abraham didn't stagger. He believed God. And the Bible says that was accounted to him for righteousness. If we believe the Lord, it'll be accounted to us for righteousness. We'll have faith given to us, righteousness unto the Lord. Look in verse number 11, where this will close. We have been separated. Verse 11, Romans 5 says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have," I like this next word, "now." We have now received the atonement. God has put us out of the, taken us from the depths of sin, the prison house of despair. God has taken us out of the murk and the mire of this world, and He has redeemed us because of all these things. We were available. We could find and we could know the grace of the Lord. Qualifications. "Oh, preacher, I'd never be qualified to go to heaven." Well, you know, one way you look at it, we're not. But when we look at it from God's side, the only way you can go to heaven is to be qualified as a sinner. To be identified as the weak. To be identified as an enemy of God, dead in sins. To be condemned, to be disobedient. That puts us in line for God to be able to say, "Believe me. I'm not strong enough to do that. Believe me. I've sinned too much." I've heard people say that, and you've heard people, "I've done too many things." That puts us in line for grace. "I've sinned away my day of grace." Not if you're still breathing, I don't believe. "I've done too much. God won't save me. He came to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost." That's who He came for. The disobedient, "I've done too much. I've said no to Him too many times. I'm condemned. I'm wretched. I'm miserable. I'm blind. I'm a sinner. And this book says I'm dead." Oh, but this book says you'd be quickened. See, there's two sides to it. For everyone that is weak, He can make us strong. For everyone that is a sinner, He can make us a saint of God. And we're still sinners in our nature, but we have been changed. We become a child of the King. To every one of us that was an enemy, we can become the friends of the Lord. We that were dead, we can be alive. We that were condemned now can have life. We that were disobedient now are obedient. All because of this one little word, grace, that's so easily understood as God's unmerited favor. That just sounds too simple. That just sounds too easy. I've had people tell me, preacher, there's got to be more to it than this. If there's more to it than grace, then it becomes works. And when it becomes works, there's no more grace. Well, I just got to do something more. No, just believe. Just accept what He said, and He'll take care of it. I'm glad one day I did that. You're glad one day you did that. We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He quickens, makes us alive, and makes us what we are for Him. So Paul tells in chapter 4 about the works of the flesh, how it does not work. Well, then how in the world can we become a Christian? How can we be saved? By obedience. Following Him that has given us His Word to be saved by this thing called grace. Let's stand together tonight.